Golf Smarter number 225 for April 6, 2010.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Achieving Golf Bliss with Jamie Zimron.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome and thanks for downloading the Golf Smarter podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Golf Ahoy at GolfAhoyWest.com. Stay tuned for details on an amazing travel package that now includes flying to the Ryder Cup in Wales aboard the official Boeing 767 American Team Charter Flight. It's coming up later. Well, there's so much to cover today. Before we get to our conversation with the golf sensei, Jamie Zimron, and the way I want to do this is I want to report that I'm very happy to say that my golf trip this past weekend with my buddies, we converged on Las Vegas from San Francisco, Seattle, and Chicago, and we had a great time. But what I want to do, instead of just telling you all about it, I'm going to give Michael a call, and he'll help me review it because he'll probably remember more than I will. So let's get him on the phone.
Hello?
Michael.
Yes.
It's Fred.
Hey!
So, Michael, how was your golf weekend in Vegas?
Awesome, buddy. Awesome. Had a great time.
We had a great time. And our first trip, we got in the car, and our first day we drove out an hour and a half to Mesquite. You've been wanting to play Mesquite for a while, and we got a chance to play at a course called Conestoga.
And I told you Wolf Creek was the course, but we ended up at Conestoga.
I actually posted a notice that we played at Conestoga, and two listeners on the Golf Smarter group and Facebook saying, "You got to play Wolf Creek."
See? I told you.
All right. Well, if we get back to Vegas.
Conestoga was awesome, Fred, wasn't it?
It really was. It's not an old course. It's managed by Troon, so first and foremost, Troon will just tells you that it's going to be managed well and it's going to be in great condition, and it was.
It was in excellent condition.
Yeah, and it didn't seem like it was that new of a golf course when you were out on it, but the fact that
not at all. It was the fairways were growing in, the greens were, everything was just the way it should be.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful day, so our photographs are amazing.
Yeah, the vistas were incredible, weren't they?
Right.
Great views.
Now, between the four of us, our handicaps range from 13 to 25, and that's why we don't play for money. But because of that, we chose the slope of 128. Those are the tee boxes. They have five different tee boxes there, ranging from 111 to 147. So 128 was a fair place for all four of us to play. But you and I play a little bit longer than the other two, than Randy and Elliot. And our scores are generally lower. So, but 128 is a good place to play. I mean, we were talking about playing the longer tees, but we ended up playing with those guys.
Yeah, well, it was still a challenge.
Right.
I mean, it was still
we didn't know where we were going.
You had to hit shots. I thought the greens rolled true. They weren't easy. It was fun.
Yeah.
Great place. I'd go back.
Yeah, I would too. And also, thank you. We pulled a April Fool's joke on you.
You did indeed. And you know what? You posted that sucker on Facebook, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
You son of a gun. And I enjoyed watching myself on screen. It was great.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you're not mad at me for doing that.
No. I thought, and you guys did it to me. I mean, it was an April Fool's.
We got you good. We got you good.
Yeah, you did.
All right, so we drove back the hour and a half, and then we didn't have to do much more driving after that. Next day, we played 36 holes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's we're getting old for that. That's a long day.
It is indeed.
But it was a memorable day. We played sister.
Oh, my God, was it ever.
We played two sister courses, and they're both on the outskirts of Vegas. The first one we played is called Rio Seco. And they had been aerating all week, and so we were like the first guys out to play on that course. And I was really impressed. I thought the greens were in great condition.
They were, and there weren't really any signs because they had done a superb job filling in with the sand. There just wasn't any issue at all.
No, and I was thinking, oh, we'll just count it as two putts and walk off, but we didn't have to.
No, not at all. They were in great shape.
But the feature of Rio Seco was hardly the golf course.
Oh, it was definitely Ashley, our teammate.
Yep.
And she was a trooper, a fine young lady and very industrious, hardworking gal. Happens to be a dancer at the Stratosphere, I understand.
Yep.
And she knew the course backwards and forwards.
She did know the course well. And the teammate is not a caddy. They call it a four caddy. So it's not like she's reading the greens like we had on the second round where we had an actual caddy. She's like just helping you along, you know, cleaning the clubs, cleaning the balls, telling what your targets are, what the distance is, how the hole plays. I mean, she had all that information.
Breaking the sand traps.
Yep. Yeah,
grabbing
your clubs
for you.
Yep.
Cracking jokes.
We have to preface this by saying we are not dirty old men. Between the four of us, we have eight kids, and half of those kids are the same age as Ashley. So we're not looking at it like, uh-oh, you know, cute girl. But and when you say she's a dancer and industrious, we also have to preface that by saying that a dancer in Vegas, no, these are not lap dances, folks.
No, I understand.
No, she's a healthy girl.
She is involved in a show, in an impersonation show. At the Stratosphere, there's two shows a night. One I think at 6:30, one at 8:30.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, she's truly a professional dancer.
Yeah, and I mean, you're right, industrious. She works at the golf course 6 days a week, and then she has like eight shows a week at night at the Stratosphere. It was very impressive.
Indeed.
She was just a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
And the most fun is if you get a birdie. She has a dance trick that she performs for you.
Yeah, I believe she calls it a no-hand birdie trick.
Yeah, a no-hands birdie trick, right. And that'll be on our Golf Smarter TV. You'll be able to see that. I'll get that produced, and everyone will have a chance to see that. But the golf course itself, four sets of tees with the ranges, the slope from 127 to 142. So it's not an easy course. I mean, there's challenging holes.
Rio Seco is a challenging course, and you have to make shots.
Yeah, you've played that course before we were there too.
I did, and the nice thing about playing it this time again is that I was able to see the finishing holes. Uh-huh. Last time I played, I was unable to see the finishing holes because it got dark. I think I only made it through 15 or 16.
Right, right. One of the things, I don't know if you even noticed this, but on the scorecard, they have a set of scores on there when Tiger played there and set the course record. So you're not only competing against par, you're competing against Tiger's scores.
Yeah, well, we didn't come close to that.
Not even close. But boy, was it, it was memorable, to say the least.
It was in terrific shape.
Yeah, the next course we went out to for our second round of the day, also a course that's associated with Butch Harmon School and Harrah's Hotel, was called Cascada, and that one's about 15 miles southeast of Vegas in Boulder City near the Nevada-Arizona border, and you have to have a caddy on this course.
I got to tell you, Fred, that was the highlight of the trip.
Really?
That course, if I'm not mistaken, I think there was, for the first eight holes, we climbed up to each hole.
Yep.
So the elevations continued up through the eighth hole. It was just incredible.
It was beautiful. And the views, when you had them, were magnificent. And otherwise, you were surrounded by these mountains. But I was amazed at how much ground we covered on the course and the fact that you didn't necessarily see another hole. Whenever you were on a hole, I don't remember ever seeing another hole.
No, and you know, what was it? There was about a half a mile between one of the holes.
I think it was like between 17 and 18.
Half a mile.
Yeah, it was between 17 and 18.
And, unbelievable.
And it was getting late, so we weren't even sure we were going to get to play that hole. It was getting cold and windy and dark, and it was like we kept driving and driving. Like, when are we going to get to the 18th hole?
Right, right. We got it all in, though. It was amazing.
Yeah.
That place was the highlight of the trip for me.
But not bargain golf.
Not at all.
Not at all. I mean, I've only played one other course that was more expensive than Cascada, and that was Pebble Beach. But it was worth it. I mean, if you can play with the big boys, and, you know, they even mentioned to us that, pitcher David Wells and Bobby Knight, basketball coach, they were playing together while we were playing. And they,
exactly.
And Jim McKay from ABC Sports, he had just finished his
round. I deliberately picked an errant tee, you know, thinking that it might have been touched by one of those guys.
And that was your specialty, yes.
That was my specialty, right.
Yeah, that was a magnificent course. And then on our final day, we went out and played with the locals in Vegas, the mountain course at Angel Park.
I seem to recall a woman who asked us on the first tee where we'd been playing the last couple rounds, and, you know, we told her. And as we drove off after teeing off, I heard her saying, "Ah, those boys are slumming." But Angel Park is a nice municipal course in Summerlin. Nothing wrong with it. You know, has some challenging holes.
Yep.
And certainly a good test.
Yeah, it was. It mostly flat. There was one hole that got interesting, and it was like 17 or something. And the tee boxes, four tee boxes, ranging from a 114 to a 130 on the slopes. And I'm just going to say it was fatigue, but that was the only round that I didn't break 90.
Yeah, it was. I was challenged all day, and I think it was the effort that it took to get through 36 the day before, my age, you know, stiffness setting in. And a lack of talent.
And then we had a great ending to the weekend. After that round of golf, we were done playing golf, but we had a great lunch. And then went and watched basketball all day long. We had two basketball games from the Final Four.
It doesn't get any better, does it?
It really doesn't. For a boys' weekend, four rounds of golf, great food, and lots of laughs, and basketball. I mean, it was kind of perfect.
Absolutely. Can't wait to do it again, Fred.
All right, well, we'll do it again next year. And luckily, we didn't lose any clubs. And unfortunately, no holes in one.
And we didn't. Yeah, well, Fred, it you know, I was witness to your hole in one. I can tell the audience that I saw it. Albeit my back was turned.
Yeah, right. You saw it, right? Why would come on, Michael? Your back was. You were facing. You were nose to nose with a tree at the moment, if I remember correctly.
Well, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks for the recap on the great. It was a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're welcome, Fred. Always good to spend time with you, bud.
I'm going to list the URLs for each course in the blog at golfsmarter.com. And the show notes along with some photos and video on Golf Smarter TV. More pictures and video are published on the Golf Smarter group at Facebook. Now let's get down to some valuable instruction. If you're a longtime listener to Golf Smarter or are familiar with our other short podcast, Golf Smarter Tips, then you're familiar with the work of Jamie Zimron, our golf sensei. She wants to help you become a black belt golfer. I know that sounds strange, but she's incredibly intelligent and quite accomplished as a golfer. So the fact that she's combined a lot of different disciplines to help golfers of all skill levels is no surprise. Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jamie.
Well, thank you, Fred. I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah, we missed you.
Oh, thank you. I love talking to you and to all of your wonderful listeners and golfers. They're the best.
Well, actually, that's why they're listening, because they're not the best and they want to get better. That's the whole point of trying to get information from these people, so we can all get a little bit better. Find one nugget to make us that much better.
That's kind of the definition of a golfer almost, isn't it?
Yeah. We're really saps. we're chumps. We're suckers. I mean, it's really amazing how we'll listen to anybody talk.
I call golfers an amazing slice of humanity, willing to try and to buy just about anything that will help their golf game.
Okay, so you studied psychology at Stanford. Why is this going on?
Well,
why do we do this?
Because that's a good question. I think that golf truly is, you know, just such a great game. It's mystical, it's spiritual, and it is an amazing challenge to try to get basically what is the smallest ball in sports outside of maybe a ping pong ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely the largest playing field in sports into one of the smallest targets relative to the playing field, right? And we're standing kind of far away from this ball. It's not like it's in our hand like a baseball pitcher. We have to make this circular motion, and at one point in 360 degrees of a circle, at that moment of impact, with the club head going 60, 80, 100 miles per hour, we've got to square up the club face and launch the ball where we want it to go.
In a fraction of a second.
In a fraction of a second. I mean, it takes, I don't know if you know that from address to the top of your swing back to impact is roughly 1 second. Okay, and then you finish your swing. So a golf swing is really not, it takes less than 2 seconds. And yeah, so everything's going so fast, and it's just, and we have to concentrate all of our psychology. I forget how many thoughts we're thinking in a minute. I mean, there's thousands of thoughts going on. We've got emotions, we've got a subconscious and a conscious mind, and then we've got all of our body parts. All of that has to get synced up so that at that one tiny fraction of a second going at, like, again, 100 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour, your average amateur, and to make square impact from a circle. This is tough.
It's really tough. And also we can watch that little ball fly through the air. Because if it rolls along the ground, we're not happy. But if it flies through the air, we're very happy sometimes.
That's true.
Well, actually, happy for a moment. Then it starts going in directions that we had no idea it was intended for. And it's like, where are you going? Wait, come back. Don't do that.
This is both the good and the bad news for golfers, and it's my sports psychologist talking, but the flight of the golf ball, for better or for worse, really is a complete reflection of you. Whether that ball's flying in the air and with a beautiful trajectory and shape to it, or whether it's spinning off in weird directions, isn't getting off the ground, all that is simply a reflection of what you did. It's a principle I call form and flow. How we shaped ourselves, how we formed ourselves is what launches the golf ball. So when you watch the flight of your golf ball, you're looking at yourself out there.
Huh?
Huh? What do you think of that?
That's too Stanford heady for me.
It's true, though. And once you understand that, you start paying a little more attention to how you shape yourself. And you also get yourself in better shape, which is partly fitness. You know, it's physical fitness. It's mental fitness. This is why you're the shape of your swing plane, all that kind of stuff. It's why it's important, because, every shot you make is really you flying out there. But it also means that you should love every shot no matter what, because no matter what, we've got to love ourselves, I mean, in our better and worse moments. So when we start loving every shot, we start having a much bit more positive energy.
Well, that's an interesting approach. I actually kind of like that, because because I know that there have been times out there that I've either not been happy with myself, whether it be professionally or personally, you know, or other distractions in life going on, as life does. And it's been reflected in my game. And my frustration, my fuse is shorter. Not my temper fuse, just my frustration fuse. And it definitely is reflected by the time you spent walking out, hopefully walking out on the golf course. That's interesting.
Well, this is where I think a little more psychology in a certain way comes into it, right? If you think of a little kid, right? If you start yelling and screaming at a little kid, what'd you do that for? You dope, you jerk, you're terrible, you'll never be any good. Why'd you do that? And you start beating the kid up, basically, whether it's verbally or even worse. I mean, and that's supposed to, like, shape the kid up and make the kid do better next time, right? It's sort of the old English model.
Spare the rod, spoil the child.
Right, you know, and that, like, that kind of parenting, that kind of teaching, of sort of yelling at the person and saying, stop it and do this instead and be better next time, like, that's supposed to be a motivation. And we've sort of learned that that old sort of corporal punishment way isn't really the greatest method, right, to elicit better performance next time. But if you think about our mental game and our kind of self-talk, for the most part, we beat ourselves up. We treat ourselves like that. When we hit a bad shot, instead of just going, well, you know, having some compassion, some acceptance, as one of my students says, I forgive myself every shot, good or bad.
Good.
Instead of that approach, and also praising ourselves, looking for what we did do well, even when the result wasn't so good, or having a sense of humor and laughing it off and then being able to move on and be present for the next shot, we beat ourselves up. We really do. It's like we take our club and hit ourselves over the head and we say, you jerk, you idiot, how could you? And as if that's supposed to help us be in a better frame of mind and have our muscles and our energy flowing and stay relaxed and make our next great fluid, well-timed, balanced swing. Not going to happen when you're beating yourself up. So we basically kill the ball and we kill ourselves and we think like that's going to give us the best results.
That's so amazing, because I have the one thing that I can tell you that I've taken with me after doing so many of these interviews for this podcast, and to me it's always been a quest for a personal growth on the golf course, is that I find now that I will laugh at a shot much more often than yell at myself. I always am amused by people who yell at their name. They yell, "Oh, Fred! Oh, ah!" You know, it's like, once the ball leaves the club face, it's out of your control, right? There's really not a whole lot you can do there.
Well, absolutely, and I really think that probably the most effective way for people to think about golf psychology, or psychology in general, is the title of a book I once read, which is called "What to Say When You Talk to Yourself." And our psychology really is a lot about what we're saying inside of our heads, right? And what we're saying when we talk to ourselves, what we're saying in between shots, what we're saying when we stand up to the ball inside of ourselves. Like, you know, are we trembling? Are we fearing? Are we worrying? Are we centered? Are we calm? Are we focused? Are we positive? And it's really the quality of, and the content, it boils right down to the content of what we're saying when we talk to ourselves, which is really our golf psychology in action, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think if people start paying more attention to, you know, more positive thoughts and honestly, even less thoughts. It's what in the East the master's called mushin, which means no mind. And that's where sort of meditation and centering and breathing and calming yourself so that you actually calm down all of that, all of those thoughts. Most of it is all chatter, right? It's the old monkey mind, the chatter that's pretty useless, if not downright negative. So a lot of it is just like throw it out, forget about it, breathe through it, and then just have a, you know, one or two focused, like a swing thought or something positive you're saying to yourself, and feel your body and let yourself swing. That's going to give a lot better results. The other thing that's really interesting to me is that the shot that you hit is not necessarily a predictor for the next shot you're going to hit.
Absolutely.
Meaning, just because you hit a good shot doesn't mean you're automatically going to hit a good one next time. And it also means just because you hit a bad shot doesn't mean you're automatically going to hit a good one or another bad one, you know?
Right. Or you're gonna, yeah, I mean, the hardest thing in golf is consistency, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I mean, and you've got three or four different games going on with each hole. You've got the long game, the short game, putting.
Absolutely. But here's the thing. You know, it's really all one, right? So, yes, we have those different shots, but the truth is it's just you. There's only one golfer. There's only one you.
Yeah.
So there's only one of you producing all of these different shots. Agreed?
Yep.
And what really matters the most is not, you know, having a great wedge or a great driver and, you know, all that sort of thing. What matters more is that you are consistent inside yourself. It's really about the golfer. It's about the golfer's own state of being inside, in their sort of body-mind system. And so what the mind is saying, and also the sense of calm and ease and flexibility and balance, all these good physical things that make the difference. So it's really your state of being inside of yourself, because you're the golfer. You're the one person making all those different shots. And so this is the place where I really get into. I get really excited about it. So it makes me the golf sensei, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, so many people are looking outside of themselves all the time for the next magic tip, you know, the next position of their hands or the next generation of golf clubs or the perfectly weighted putter or, you know, all this sort of thing. And I don't mean to knock equipment. You should have good equipment and it should be fitted for you.
Absolutely.
But it's really you who it's about you. It's your state of being that makes all the difference. So, I mean, even on tour, all those players, men and women on tour, are fabulous athletes. They're fabulous golfers. But what makes the difference, right? They all have great golf swings. They all know what they're doing. But there are certain ones who are in better shape physically, mentally, and emotionally and are more masters of themselves and can manage themselves and manage as the pressure gets more intense in competition. That separates the, you know, the creme de la creme, right?
Right, right. Well, you know, in all the times that we've talked together, whether it be on Golf Smarter or Golf Smarter Tips, we focus with you on the physical aspects with fitness and conditioning and flexibility. And many times when I've had people on who focus on that kind of instruction, I ask them about, give me a drill or a tip that you would use to get warmed up before your round of golf. And then during your round of golf. And you and I have covered that kind of stuff. But actually, what I'm really curious to ask you is, what do you do? Because I know that you play competitively. What do you do emotionally to get yourself psyched up for a round? What do you do before a round of golf, you know, emotionally to get yourself ready? Or do you do anything? Is it just a constant thing?
Some of both.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm here to listen.
Okay.
I want to know.
The constant parts are, I think it's important all the time to pay attention to sleeping well, to eating well, to staying fit. So those things are important in general. You can't sort of cram your fitness in like a day or two before the event, right? Mm-hmm. So that's important. That's the general thing. Another general thing is that I think I work all the time to be more centered, more calm, more focused, to manage myself every day, right? And emotions come up. It's not like I don't get emotional, or we all get emotional. But I think we have to know how to handle them, right? It's because they're going to pop up on the golf course. So that's a daily practice. Now, having said all that, what I do every time I play golf, and it's a routine, right? So that when a tournament comes up, I just go right into that routine. And I have developed, I actually practice what I teach and preach. I figure that's the best way to do it, right? And if I'm going to try teaching people something, it better work. And that's what I use, and I really do find that it works. So I've developed, for example, a whole warm-up routine of golf exercises. I call them golf bliss, balance, lengthen, integrate, stretch, strengthen. And I run through those exercises. And the exercises have built into them centering, focusing, calming, as well as stretching, strengthening, and my actual golf swing motion. So I practice those every day. They get me in shape. They keep me in shape. And when it comes time to go play golf, and to, whether I'm playing for fun or competitively, I just do my routine, and boom, I'm right there.
So let's go. Let's pick apart bliss.
Ooh,
I think it's a fascinating concept.
Well, it really is, and I can't take credit for it. I want to give credit where it's due to a woman named Joanie Kettler here in San Diego. I went to see her when I came to San Diego about 12 years ago because I had 20 years of chronic back pain. I've separated both my shoulders. I've hurt my ankles, my neck, my wrists. I've been golfing since a young age. I'm an athlete. I've been crashing around in martial arts forever. So I was really injured and hurting. And I was introduced to Joanie, who created Bliss Work, and it's a system of exercises, a little Pilates and yoga like, but with its own flavor to it. And the exercises are very doable. They don't require any special equipment, and they got me out of 20 years of chronic back pain. Mm. They've healed up my shoulders. I've been in perfect shape for 12 years. I went from not being able to play 5 holes of golf to playing 212 holes of golf in 12 hours. I'm a golf marathoner.
212 what?
Yeah, have you ever heard of a golf marathon? A 100-hole golf marathon.
Yeah, I've heard
of
the 100 holes in a day as a fundraiser type of thing, but
yeah, exactly.
But
yep.
200?
Well, the first time I went and played in one of these, and I was fundraising for cystic fibrosis, right? You get per-hole pledges, like you would get a per-mile pledge in a bike-a-thon or walk-a-thon. 100 holes of golf, I was like, yeah, count me in. Of course, I was the only woman in the field, and I played 167 holes the first time I tried it. And I had a headache that day. I thought, my God, I bet I could play 200 holes. And I figured out it was about 18 holes an hour, and I did 212 holes.
Were you running between?
My max so far.
How do you get from – okay, first question. Did you ever play two balls on one hole?
No, but there are – look, there's a couple ways you can do it. The ones I've done have been the full-on, full, 26-mile one, okay, which means tee to green. Full-length regulation course. I mixed up the tees, forward, middle tees, back tees, so I had a different course every time. No practice swings. You have a cart, so you drive, and I drove myself, or, students and friends came out, did shifts for a couple hours, and you can drive right up to the green, not on the green, but right up there, and just running on and off the cart and playing, and I hold out every shot. There are golf marathons on par threes, and you can play two balls at once. So you play like 50 holes times two on a par three course. But this, I've played. I'm talking about full regulation ones.
All right, I'm sorry, I distracted. What we were talking about. Let's get back to bliss. Wow. Okay.
Well,
very
no.
Cool.
Let me tell you this. So I said
okay.
I've been the only woman in the field, right?
Okay. Yeah.
There are anywhere from 20 to 36 players that do these things, and I can remember the first several times. These guys would bring their slippers for dinner because they knew they were going to be aching and crawling in after 100 holes and 12 hours. I would come in cruising in 160, 200 holes, like not a pain in my body, just coming right in and full of energy. And
awesome.
They'd be like, "What's yeah?" And I mean, usually older than they are, right? But that's because I do my Bliss Fitness and I pay attention to my energy and I'm in great shape.
Okay, let's talk about Bliss Fitness.
All right, here we go.
Let's break it down.
I'm going to do them letter by letter.
Please, I'll take notes.
B is for balance, and balance is actually, it really governs your golf swing. It's the key to good golf and great golf. Balance, it starts in your center, and your center is in your belly. It's a little bit lower than your belly button. It's called Tantien or Hara in the East. We don't have a word for it, but it's our physical center of gravity. Now, it's located in our belly, which sits in our hips, which sits on top of our legs and our feet. So there's this connection between your center and your base, your legs, your lower body. And it all gets connected when you get centered, and then you have more athletic balance. And we have to make dynamic rotational motion in the golf swing, and we've got to keep that in balance. And when you can do that, you're able to really focus the energy into that little tiny ball so that all your energy goes into the golf ball. It's not, falling off and missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So balance is really, really important. And the thing is, you can't talk yourself into it. You've got to have some strength in your pelvic support muscles, your hip flexors, your back muscles. They're called the erector spinae muscles, the ones that hold your back up. And so balance is super important, and having the muscles for it is really important. And I'm going to tell you an exercise afterwards that from Golf Bliss and how to use your golf club to improve your balance, okay?
Yep.
And the other thing about balance is that it sets your timing, your tempo, and your rhythm, okay? So super important. And if you watch the pros, the one thing that stands out all the time in the pros' golf swings is their balance. When they're addressing the golf ball, in the dynamic motion of the swing, and at the end of their swing, they are standing there in what my Mexican doctor, Ki golfer, calls posa. they're posing. They're in perfect balance, standing there watching their beautiful shots.
Yeah, so you definitely notice, even on the Golf Channel and you watching amateurs, you'll notice how their finish point is all over the place.
Exactly. The biggest difference between amateurs and professionals is their balance, I would say.
Wow.
So balance is crucial, and again, you've got to have the muscular strength and awareness to have good balance. And you have to be aware of your feet and your footwork, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So that's balance. Next one, L, lengthen. Lengthen is about lengthening your spine, making more space between your vertebrae. Now, this decompresses your spine so that you feel better. you literally get taller. In our Joanie's Bliss classes, we used to have a little place on the wall, like little kids, where we'd mark our height by inches, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we'd see adults getting taller.
Now, wow. How does
an adult, I personally gained about a half an inch. The max I saw was somebody get 4.5 inches taller.
No.
I'm not kidding you. Measurable on the wall. Most people a half inch, an inch, even an inch and a half. How does an adult grow?
Right.
Think about it. If you can decompress your spine, most of us get all hunched down and then and our vertebrae are compressing and things. And that's just life, you know, the weights of life. Sitting all day, all these different things. And so when we can start to lengthen the spine, which is done easily by Joanie's brilliant exercises that I adapted to golf, you actually become taller when you lengthen out your spine, and it's actually doable. So that's important. And then when you have a straighter spine angle, you can create better rotational movement.
Sure. That makes total sense.
Yep. Length is also in our swing arc. Now, this is stretching out a lot of our lats, our side muscles, and those are really pretty easy to stretch out, and also loosening up the shoulders. When the muscles in the sides of our body and our shoulders are too tight, what happens is we can't make the extension on our backswing and the extension coming through the hitting zone down the target line on our forward swing. But when those extensions can get longer, it adds swing arc. Now, what swing arc does, think about it, for every, say, more inch or half inch that you can extend better and also get better rotation in your golf swing, every degree of rotation, that ends up as another mile per hour of club head speed, which ends up as a few more yards on your golf shot.
Hmm. Wow.
Interesting, is it not?
Yeah, very interesting.
It's not complicated. It makes a ton of sense, and it's easily done. And this is where S and stretch comes in, too. Length and stretch. We've got to lengthen out and have more stretch and flexibility.
Is the lengthening process, is that part of, like, hanging upside down or something? Or is it
not
just...
Not at all.
Really?
No. Imagine you could... I have a wonderful exercise. It's really easy. Let's say you hold the club, put your right hand on your golf club
Hang on. Let me grab it.
Grab it, okay.
Okay, go ahead.
So you're just holding a club with one hand. You're standing, mm-hmm. right? Like you're addressing the golf ball?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right or left hand? I'm right-handed, so which hand am I holding?
Okay, you can do either one, but we're going to do both. But we'll start with your right hand.
Okay.
Hold it one hand, okay? Mm-hmm. Make a little turning motion from your left instep, just a little pressure on your left instep, and that will allow you to take the club straight out to your side. So you're holding the club straight out. Your arm is extended, the club is extended, parallel to the ground.
Okay.
You with me?
Yep, I'm doing it.
It takes a little bit of strength, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you're holding the club straight out. Now what I want you to do is just, I call it Coca-Cola, like you're going to drink a Coke. Mm-hmm. I call it Coca-Cola because K-O-K-Y-U, Koku means breath power. In Aikido, but it's making a motion with just in your wrist, like you were going to drink a Coke or a cup of coffee.
My right hand with the hand with the club.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah.
So feel that you just make a little, and it's just from your wrist, and that starts to make the toe of the club come up, does it not?
Yep.
And you're working the muscles in your forearm,
mm-hmm.
and in your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep repeating that sort of drinking motion, Coca-Cola motion, okay? Now, keep that motion going all the way up over your head and arc the club all the way over your head, and you'll feel a big stretch in your side.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yes, I do.
Uh-huh. Nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in Bliss, what we do is this pulsing motion. Take your right hip and just sort of push it out to the side. You kind of go one, two,
to the
three.
Outside or the inside?
To the outside.
The right
so
hip to the outside.
Yeah, you're increasing the stretch from your hip.
Oh, I see.
Feel it?
Yeah. Oh, you know, I really hope that listeners are on commute trains right now doing this with me.
Me too.
Like,
okay, so you're feeling a big stretch in your side, are you not?
I am.
Yeah. Now, to add a little bit more to it, take your left hand.
Okay.
Hold at the hosel of the golf club.
Got it.
So you've got both hands extended out fully, right? Your arms and hands.
Yep.
You got a big stretch in your side.
Mm-hmm.
you can do a few more of those pulsing motions.
To either side or just to the right side?
Still? Just to the right side. And then, of course, you would repeat this on the other side, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you just kind of stand back up, relieve all that, take a big breath. Whew.
Feel it in my shoulders, too.
Yeah, you feel in a lot of places.
Yeah. Oh, I'm taller.
Well, seriously, I mean, we can laugh, but it's true. All right, now come back, give the golf club to your left hand.
Okay.
And repeat that same thing. You're going to extend straight out the target line now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Straight out until your left arm is straight. The club is parallel to the floor, to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And make that little Coca-Cola motion in your wrist. As you repeat that, if you do 5, 10, 15 of those, you're going to start really strengthening your forearms and loosening your wrists, which is going to give you stronger forearms into the golf ball, but looser, more whippy release action with your hands, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Give you the muscles for it. Anyways, now you do a nice big Coca-Cola motion and arch all the way over. Bring the club all the way over your head. So you're arching and you're stretching your left side.
Mm-hmm.
You feel it?
Yep.
And a little pulsing motion in your hip, left hip, just out to the side. That will stretch more. From your hip all the way up your sides, through your shoulders, all the way out. A big arc over your body with your golf club.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can reach your right hand out, hold the hosel of the club. Both arms are extended beautifully. A few more pulses.
And make sure you don't squinch your shoulders up into your neck, right?
Yep.
Okay. So keep your shoulders relaxed.
Keep your shoulders down and relax. Actually, lower your weight into your belly, which will lower into your feet, and you'll feel more balance.
Hmm.
Yeah? More,
mm-hmm.
Feel that? More centered, more balance?
I'm with you.
As you do this exercise. And then just release that. Take a big breath. Just sort of imagine, feel yourself coming down the center gravity line of your body, down through your belly into your feet. Nice and balanced and lengthened and stretched out.
Now, is this something that I would do on a daily basis in the morning, or is this what I'm going to do when I get to the golf course and I'm loosening up?
Both. Every day. Every day is good, right? Remember I said you can't cram in your fitness?
Right.
And most people don't really get to the driving range or the golf course. I mean, if you get there two or three times a week, that's a lot. A lot of times it's less than that.
Oh, yeah.
So you want to do this every day, so you're getting your fitness in every day. And then when you go to the range, yes. And sometimes even in the middle of a round of golf, I'll do some of these exercises because, you know, you're standing around too long and sometimes you get a little, your muscles get a little cold or a little tired. And so you can sort of restretch, warm them back up and get refocused just by doing exercises on the golf course. It's totally legal. All you've got, you know, you've got your body, your mind, and your golf club on the golf course. You can't put a laser on your putter. You can't use your swing jacket. You can't use fancy things on the golf course. So if you've got your golf club that can get you centered, stretched, strong, and reset your timing and your balance, boy, you're way ahead of the game, literally.
Wow. All right, so that was the exercise for lengthen, but you said you had an exercise for balance as well.
Okay, we'll go back to B.
But we're not
going to
go back to B. Well, we're not going to do that yet because you said we would go back to it. But here's the problem. We're at our time. We're at 30 minutes here. And so we need to do the exercise for balance, and we need to still go over ISS. And we're going to do that next week on a members-only episode. So this was a very long tease for next week's. I mean, we got a ton of information in this, but we still have more to go. And so we hope that everyone will join us next week as well. If you're not a member yet to Golf Smarter for Members Only, please go to golfsmarter.com and look into gaining access to the entire archives of Golf Smarter. And you'll hear not only part two of this conversation with Jamie, you can go back and listen to old conversations that we've had with Jamie. And I also want to remind everybody to check out Golf Smarter Tips. We did those through 2008. We had a lot of different instructors giving short daily tips. They're available on iTunes for free. And, of course, on our website, if you go to golfsmarter.com, you can find Golf Smarter Tips as well. And to find more about Jamie, who's based down in San Diego, California, she's at Kiai Golf, KIAIGOLF.com. And you'll see it says centeredgolfing.com, but it's KIAIGOLF.com. Jamie Zimron, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Fred. This was fun, and we'll get to ISS. And all these exercises are on video and on DVD, so just so people know, they are available.
Yes, they are available. And if you're interested in Jamie's video package that includes three DVDs, manuals, and a pocket guide, click on her ad at the bottom of golfsmarter.com. Normal price for the full kit is $99.95 US plus shipping and handling. But when you enter in the coupon code area GolfSmarter, your price will be reduced to $94.95 US plus shipping and handling. Now, Golf Smarter members, I do what I can. We got you a lower price as well. $89.95 if you are a Golf Smarter member, and that's US price plus shipping and handling. Now, if you want the coupon code for the membership price, you're going to have to go to the top of the homepage of golfsmarter.com, the members site. I put a little news blurbs in there. I'll go ahead and post what the coupon code is there, and I'll even tell it to you on next episode when Jamie returns to give us the rest of her bliss commentary. Now, speaking of the Golf Smarter memberships, I apologize for not announcing names of our regular winners, so let me catch up a bit. Frankly, I forgot about it. I've been doing so many other things, I forgot that I'm supposed to tell you that you've won something. And Bob Hunt of Stafford, Virginia, you have won something. That's because you're a Golf Smarter member. Your name has randomly been selected to receive a copy of Stan Utley's book, The Art of Scoring. Congratulations, Bob, and thanks for your continued support. Now let's talk about our new partner, Golf Ahoy, and the amazing offer they're providing to Golf Smarter listeners. First of all, to those of you in the UK and everyone else who threw rocks at this podcast because of my ignorance, this year's Ryder Cup is going to be played in the UK, and I said it was being played at Celtic Manor. Hey, I'm an American. I watch basketball. You spell it C-E-L-T-I-C, I say Celtic. I get rocks thrown at me. It's Celtic Manor. I'm sorry. I won't make that mistake ever again. But here's the deal. Golf Ahoy is a company that provides first-class golf cruises to anywhere in the world. If you've ever booked a round of golf when you're on a cruise, you know it's not so easy to get in 18 holes before you have to rush back to the ship. That's not the case with Golf Ahoy. They'll make all the arrangements not only for your golf, but find the right cruise package for you as well. But here's the deal they're offering right now. A trip to the 2010 Ryder Cup that includes all-inclusive accommodations and tickets to each day's events at Celtic Manor. Whether you're rooting for the U.S. or Europe, this year's Ryder Cup will be 4 days of intense competition, and it's going to be happening in Wales between September 28th and October 4th, 2010. Last week I mentioned about you making a call, but we've kind of improved that since you're online folk. We've put a link on their banner ad at the top of golfsmarter.com so you can just email my friend Frank Rogers directly to get your questions answered about this trip and any other golf travel you may be interested in. This is a complete package with accommodations on board a privately chartered ship called Le Diamant. Whether you're setting this up for a corporate event or a vacation, you will find that the accommodations on this ship to be an ideal combination of comfort and convenience. But check this out. This week, Frank Rogers at GolfAhoyWest.com sent me an email with a very, very, extremely, very, very limited offer. So if you're interested, please act quickly because it's a chance of a lifetime. A few spaces have been made available to Golf Ahoy for those of you who would like to fly with Team USA aboard their custom-chartered Boeing 767 to Cardiff, Wales. Yeah, you can be the 13th man as Team USA mounts its first defense of the Ryder Cup since their win 2 years ago. If you'd like details on the options available to fly with the team, and there are multiple options, click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com and I'll forward a PDF with all the details. If you'd like more information about securing a spot on board the Le Diamant and tickets to the Ryder Cup, click on the Golf Ahoy ad at golfsmarter.com. Reserve your place for what promises to be the golf experience of a lifetime. Now, if you're into Golf Smarter for the long haul, then show some interest to these folks so that we can plan our 2011 Golf Smarter adventure to Scotland. You know, I keep telling potential sponsors that the Golf Smarter audience is loyal, intelligent, and adventurous. So make me proud and contact Frank Rogers via email and let him know that you travel when you play golf and you're interested in his services. For a number of years, we've ended each episode of the Golf Smarter podcast with a quote that you've submitted that helps keep your head in the game or makes you laugh about golf. Based on an email sent to me by a friend recently, I've asked you to tell me what you love about golf, and your responses so far have been tremendous. Thank you. So we close today with why Ken Sanford of Schenectady, New York, loves golf. Every once in a while, I can hit a shot exactly as I envisioned it, and it makes me feel somehow connected to everything else in the world when that happens. I love golf because it's the only place in my life where perfection is actually possible. Next week, part two with Jamie Zimron and the conclusion of Golf Bliss. If you have any questions, comments, or reasons why you love golf, please click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.